Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you like the doctrines of grace, as heard on Abounding Grace Radio, we do invite you to join us for worship at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address is 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. And now here's our program, Abounding Grace.
The Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are thankful today that you've tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries and the preaching pastor at the Escondido United Reformed Church. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We invite you to go to our website, agradio.org, learn more about who we are and what we believe, and we have many resources there for you. A map to the church, we have other things there, podcasts to Google Play. You could subscribe to iTunes. It's all there set up for you, and also a way to donate if you do appreciate the programs. All the donations will go to the cost of the programs. We are a nonprofit organization, and again, thankful to be here in San Diego and to air Abounding Grace to you. Well, if you were with us yesterday, you know we are considering the beauties of worship and how our whole understanding today needs to be corrected when it comes to worship. Psalm 84 is what we're studying. And what makes Psalm 84 so profound is that the psalmist is describing worship in his total freedom, in his total ability to come. He's not been banished. He's not been kicked out. He's not had a knife put to his throat. He's not under persecution. He's describing ordinary life and what he has found in this struggle of ordinary life, of the blessing of coming to God's house to worship. Now, I said yesterday, I believe people are starving spiritually today. You see it in the many different fads that come and go in Christianity. We have this, we have that. We have 40 days of this, we have prayers of this. And why aren't those things still being used if they were used before and worked? You see, we're constantly on a search. We want to be spiritually filled. We want life to fill us and our children. What we do, we want it to be meaningful and life-changing. And I ask the question, then have we listened to what the Lord has told us as to where we find that life? Let me read Psalm 84 today. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. We'll stop there. A lot more to that psalm. Go read Psalm 84 as your devotional piece today. So what a beautiful psalm. He's talking about something that he had experienced at what they knew was the tabernacle and later the temple, that the God of heaven and earth had come down to dwell with his people there. That's why they were special. That the Lord had come down, and remember the structure of the tabernacle. There was the holy place and the most holy place. And in that most holy place, there the Lord symbolically was said to have dwelt between the cherubim, the mercy seat, which all was a shadowy sketch of his throne in heaven. The Lord wanted his people to know that he was with them, and so that they could come and enjoy him on the earth. Amazing thing, isn't it? So this was a deep, intimate expression of joy of coming. And we often have viewed the Old Testament as something that was full of laws and sacrifices, so there must have been no joy. The Lord's rebuking that idea. Worship is not a chore. Worship is not a burden. Worship is a privilege. We're coming to talk to the King. We're coming to meet the maker of heaven and earth. And so the psalmist is describing this. How beautiful are your tabernacles. It thrills my soul to be able to come and worship. This is my greatest passion, is to be where you dwell, O Lord of hosts. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Satisfaction. He describes his experience as that is of fainting for the courts of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about buildings of stone, is he? He's not talking about the physical structure. And today people have misunderstood this, haven't they? Jesus said that we no longer worship on this mountain or in that mountain, in a specific temple on Jerusalem's hill. That's why you wonder why people want that rebuilt, right? That's not what we're doing. Jesus said we're worshiping in spirit and in truth, and they have taken that to mean we no longer have to come to church because we are the church. And since the church is not a building, I am the church. Well, that has a sound of wisdom, but it's led to something very wrong. There's a reason the New Testament said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the manner of some. There are always going to be those who say they don't need church, that they are the church. We live in those times. I suggest these people are pining away spiritually. The psalmist, of course, is not describing the structures we go to. He's talking about the fact that when the body of Christ, which is the church, comes together as one, when they come together and they gather together for worship on the Lord's Day, there is something happening there that you cannot get anywhere else. And that's what the psalmist has found. He's found the real key to the Christian life. This is why, if you just open your eyes and think for a minute, God gave us 6 days to rest and always a seventh day for worship. He patterned this out of creation. He knew we needed this. The reason this is so important is because God had come down and chosen to be with them. And that's what the church is. When the body of Christ is gathered on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to worship, blessings flow from Zion to his body, the church. God is with us. Now, I said something yesterday. I just have to say again. In Psalm 92, you have the only psalm that is described, that is describing worship on the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto your name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That's the only song for the Sabbath in the Psalter. And you know what's interesting? It lays the pattern that God's people loved to gather at morning and at night. Do you know, dear listener, that across denominational lines in this country years ago, this is what people did on Sundays. They had morning and evening worship. And people would come. And you know, it's sad today that the abandonment not only of the evening service, but even of the importance of the morning service is showing us where we are spiritually. We treat worship like it's a burden. And we approach it like, why in the world do we have to go to worship? Can you imagine saying that to the Lord? Lord, we don't really need to come to you and speak of your greatness and sing your songs and hear your word, do we? We can do something better than that. You see, I've always thought that we should be asking the Lord, Lord, can we come 10 times on Sunday? Why doesn't it ever go in that direction? You see, forcing worship seems to be the most unnatural thing to do in light of a heart that's genuinely changed. The heart that is genuinely changed, like the demoniac, just wants to be with Jesus, doesn't he? And you see, that's what worship is. The Lord always wanted the Lord's Day to be called a delight because it was never a form of forced servitude. It was a joy to delight themselves in the Lord, to taste and see that he's good, to be strengthened by his word, to be fed with the words of life, the bread from heaven. You see, there's a power given to you here you can't just find anywhere else. Then how good is the Lord? You are distracted, aren't you? If you're honest, you pray and you can barely get them up over the ceiling. You're distracted. Life distracts you. Bible reading, how's it going? We put a lot of pressure on people today to do their prayers and Bible reading. Amen. We should do prayers and Bible reading. But what's the reality? No Christian can say that they're doing real well with that. They wish they did better. And here God gives you a day of rest to come out of it all and enjoy Him and to be focused and to specially bless His body, the church, with His Spirit to keep them focused and to drink deeply from the well of living water. And that's why, from the beginning, at the Garden of Eden, men began to gather together after the fall and began to call on the name of the Lord. That was worship. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That is Psalm 27. He is going to set me upon the rock when I go there. I love what James Boyce once said. There is something to be experienced of God in church that's not quite so easily experienced elsewhere. Otherwise, why have churches? If it's only instruction we need, get it by a CD then. If it's only fellowship, have a home gathering, a Bible study. There is something to be said for the sheer physical singing of the hymns, the sitting in pews, the actual looking to the pulpit and gazing on the Bible as it is expounded, tasting the sacrament in the very atmosphere of the place set apart for the worship of God that is spiritually beneficial. You see, dear listener, this is where gospel is announced. You know what gospel is? Evangelium, good news. It's the evangelo. It's the good news of Christ and His shed blood to save us. God sends messengers to announce that Jesus died, that He rose for our justification, and the place that God gives real power for the journey to be assured of His love and to be lights as we are sent out into this dark world. Now, this is where the psalm is overwhelming to ponder. Listen to verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. This is overwhelming. I'm imagining in the tabernacle, at the top of the tent, a little sparrow laying her nest, having her young there. The psalmist must have looked up at that and saw the sparrow and the swallow. And here he's thinking about the Sabbath, but the sparrow gets to fly right up there anytime he wants. He realized something, didn't he? You know, sparrows are almost totally worthless birds. What did Jesus say about them? He doesn't even let the sparrow fall to the ground. He is so sovereign, He cares even for the sparrows. A swallow is a restless bird, zooming about, isn't he? You know who wrote this psalm? It was the sons of Korah. They were specifically appointed to be doorkeepers in the Lord's house. They were like the janitors. Their roles were not glorious, and they had little esteem in their lives compared to the other Levites. Think about it. The janitors of the Lord's house are singing, "Even you, O Lord, give the sparrows a place." And you see, the psalmist is overwhelmed to think that the Maker, in the Maker of heaven and earth's eyes, a little life was of inestimable value to the Lord, even that He would consider the little people. I don't know how much this overwhelms you, but here's the heart of it. God considers the nobodies of this world. Maybe you're listening and your life is full of hardship and stress, and day in and day out, you're doing the same routines, and it doesn't seem like you're in the whole world picture. We've got all of our Hollywood elites making all their money, having all their mansions, and here you are struggling, and you're wondering, does this life really matter to God? Am I really at all mattering? And you see, the janitor here in Psalm 84 is overwhelmed to think that in the Maker of heaven and earth's eyes, this life means something. God takes delight in the nobodies. And this is childlike faith from the janitors, the sons of Korah. These nobodies were so moved that God would care about them, that the holy maker of heaven and earth would love them and desire for them to come. They fainted to be in God's house. While all of the world's great men who are so busy, the people of this world busy making their American dollar, busy making their monies, busy building their American dream, busy building their houses, and totally rejecting the Lord. How sad, isn't it? You see, this just shows today the kind of heart the Lord is after. He doesn't need your worship. He doesn't need my worship. We know that the Lord hates outward ceremony devoid of a new heart, but that God has, because he loves his people, set up a place for the needy to be strengthened. You know that's what we say evangelism is, right? Evangelism is one beggar showing another beggar where he found bread. I'm needy. I'm a park bench beggar. I need grace, dear listener, and so do you. And God says, this is where I give it. This is where you specially are strengthened for the way. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. There's a reason we've always had the church. There's a reason we've always gathered around and come with boldness, because we have access to the throne of grace. In fact, this whole thing that he describes at this point in vivid contrast is to tell us we need this because this life is so hard in this world. That's what I described yesterday. Can you imagine facing these things alone? Listen, I go to hospitals a lot to visit the sick. I had a friend up in Canada who I recently visited. He's a non-believer. I've told him about Jesus. I've pleaded with him to believe in Jesus. Wealthier than all get out. Got everything under the sun you can imagine. Proud as can be. He's dying, dear listener. Pray for him. He is weeping right now in fear, with no hope. I've seen this in hospitals. In one bed, somebody is clinging to Jesus. All their life, they've been taught to trust him. And somebody who's going to their deathbed, rejecting Jesus, without God, and without hope in the world. And you see, the Lord wants us to understand something. The psalm describes something for us. It describes what happens to someone in the course of their life who has this inward thirst for meaning and fulfillment, satisfied by Jesus Christ. It's a life of blessing. Listen to verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Did you get that? The sons of Korah say, we really want to be in your house worshiping you, but we're not home yet. We're set on pilgrimage. And they say, on this pilgrimage, we're passing through the Valley of Baca. You know what the Valley of Baca is? It's the Valley of Tears. It's a valley of weeping. South of Jerusalem is this valley. It's hot. It brings to mind the thought of hell. That's life under the sun, under a sin-cursed world. Life is hard. Sin has brought so much pain, so much misery. Death is all around us. And you see the real power of this psalm. It's as if he's telling us, listen, I found the answer. Will you hear today? Listeners, will you hear? Psalm 84. I go to the Lord's house. I experience spiritual satisfaction, blessing, delighting myself in the Lord, and there's nothing like it. I don't want to leave it. But I know I got to go back into the world. During the week, at times, the burdens are unbearable. Feel this, dear listener? I see things. I feel things. At times, I don't know if I can even continue. That's how I feel. That's what I go through. I don't know that I can continue. I long to experience forever what I get every time I come to worship with God's people. You see, they're describing the strength that the Lord gives people to make it through. The blessing that comes from God's presence that sustains us during our weeks. And that's what he's describing. You think people are spiritually struggling and in a wasteland because they've not had the strengthening yet of understanding the joys of coming to God's house. He says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They're going somewhere. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools. This is what God does in the lives of those whom he saved. There's something about the Christian. God makes his life like water in a dry, barren desert. It makes things green. He's watering wherever he goes. The Lord's people are to be a light to those in the darkness. They water the earth with hope. And notice in their journey, they go from strength to strength until finally they all appear before the face of God. Their heart has been set on that pilgrimage. God is giving them strength. I know many of you feel alone. Many of you feel depressed. Do you see the life presented? The Old Testament says here, from strength to strength. You see, the New Testament adds, we've received grace for grace, and better yet, grace upon grace. And you see, that's the experience of the Christian life in the Valley of Baca. Strength to strength, grace upon grace, heaped up upon us, glory to glory, until we finally meet the Savior face to face. Now, this is the life that really matters. This is the fulfilled life. And it's as if the psalmist invites all of those who hear this, who really hear what's being said to you today, to this kind of life. Listen to verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Who is that? Do you understand that? Who sits at the right hand? It's his anointed. It's his Messiah. Lord, when your face is turned to him, when you look on your son, Jesus, we know that at his right hand, there are pleasures there forevermore. When you look upon him, Father, when you delight yourself in him, we know these blessings come. Give us this kind of life of faith. You see, it was Christ who lived this. He was the one who had no place to lay his head, who coming to this wilderness, this place of curse, made a spring for all who trust in him. And you see, what a way to go forward. For a day in your courts is better, says the psalmist, than a thousand. You ever thought about that? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know how hard it is out there? You know how hard this life is? Sin will take you down. But the Lord, you see, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I love that verse. I want to be before you. I'd rather be a janitor in the Lord's house than to have the fullest possession in the world, in the tents of wickedness. In other words, why would I want to be out there, especially on the Lord's Day, on Sundays, if I have the great privilege to receive grace and glory and worship the Lord? You know, I can't help but hear a whole rebuke to our whole generation who disregard the worship of the Lord, that it's some kind of chore, that they would rather be down at the Chargers game, that it's a hard duty. They'd rather be tailgating. What a tragedy, isn't it? When the Lord's house is so lightly esteemed, it's no wonder you go through life with no perspective and misery in the valley of tears. Why do you think so much there is so lacking of joy among God's people today? This whole psalm is a prayer. You say, how can I live this kind of fulfilled life? This is a gift. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. When you do that, O Lord, we're going to be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your holy temple. You see, now we can understand the end of this psalm. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. When we are blessed to trust him, we receive this kind of strength. All the way through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, we will still be living a life of praise no matter what comes down our path. Dear listener, that is the kind of Christian life that is worth living. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. And if you like the doctrines of grace as heard on this program, our commitment at the Escondido United Reformed Church is to preach the Word of God in season and out of season to show forth Jesus from all of Scripture. We do invite you to join us 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. 1864 North Broadway is the address in Escondido. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.